Is it good? Yeah? Oh, good. We are going to speak a little bit, me and Peter and Michelle. They're coming later. We're going to switch it. But could maybe you guys just come a bit closer? Because I don't see anybody.
Okay.
I just want to start with just pray a little bit. Yeah, God, I just pray that you would just come here now and just, yeah, just fill us up with, yeah, peace and joy and everything good that you have. Just learn us, God, to just trust in you and learn us what relationship really is about, God. Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit to you guys about relationship to God. But I want to split the words up a little bit and just say, talk a little bit about relationship first. Because if you're going to talk about relationship and God, we first maybe should just think about what relationship really is. So what kind of relationship do we have? Any help? We have to dad, mom, we have to friends, good. Siblings, yeah. Teachers, ourselves, yeah, good. Whatever, yeah. Boyfriend, work, girlfriends, whatever. Yeah, and to every person we have a relationship to, we add either it's close or it's not so close. It could be good and it cannot be good. You can take your parents, for example. You can, like, your parents, you're maybe more relaxed. You can say whatever you want and they can yell at you, but it doesn't really matter so much, maybe. Yeah. And but if your teacher yells at you, you know that could do something with your future if you get bad grades and stuff. So, yeah. So you behave a bit different. And with friends, it could be both, but most often it's close. And the same with like a girlfriend or a boyfriend, it's very close normally. And God, He just wants the same relationship to us that we share with our friends and our family. In other words, He's the one that we can come with when come to when we need advice and when we need peace, when we need anything. We can come to Him because He wants to relate to us in every situation, everything we need. And it says in Isaiah 9:6b, it says that His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So He tells us that, yeah, that He is the Father when we need a Father. He is a friend. He is our counselor. He is a provider. He is everything. I would just want to tell a little bit short about my testimony, with my relationship to God and how it has been late years. When I was 16, I moved to another town in Bergen, in Norway. And I was just, yeah, I just wanted new friends that were Christians because I didn't have any Christian friends. And I was like, just, yeah, really, yeah, on fire for God and just growing with Him. And yeah, I came to Bergen and I met a lot of friends who was on fire and I was suddenly there too. And we prophesied and we saw a lot of healings. That was so cool. And I just loved to just pray and worship with people because I wasn't used to that then before. So it was very cool. And I just loved that. And that year was just amazing. I just grew with God and things is very good. But after a little time, I met a guy. Who has met that? Yeah. So I was in love. And after a little time, I was in a relationship with him. And yeah, we did as a couple do, kisses and yeah, kisses and kisses and kisses every day, the first months. That was all about that. Not a good advice, to be honest. Because what happened was that my relationship to God was suddenly not a relationship anymore. I didn't notice it, but I noticed that I was in church. Yeah, I was in church. I went to all the youth meetings and stuff. But I didn't pray. I didn't have prayer meetings home with friends. I didn't worship. I didn't spend so much time with my friends anymore. I just was with him all my days. It was great, yeah. But after 2 years, I noticed that my life wasn't so good that it has been anymore. I was feeling a lot like I wasn't satisfied. I was alone, feeling like I was in love, but still I was. It wasn't satisfied in any places at all. I was, yeah, just depressed and, yeah, it wasn't good. And he felt the same in many ways too. So we just talk about it, okay, what has happened and stuff. And we figure out that, okay, these 2 years, we have actually gone from God. Even though we love him and we believe in him still, we don't have any relationship to him. So we need to do something about that. So what happened was that one of the reasons was this. We needed to break up because, we was each other's God, and we didn't want that. God is the only one who wants to have that place. He don't want to share the number one place at all. He wants to have that place alone. Yeah, so I'm saying this, like, I'm telling you my testimony about this because I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to kind of lose that intimate relationship to God that you can have, because that's so good. It's so amazing to just be with him and just, yeah. He is really one who can fill your life and change your life at all. He is the only one. Like, you can talk to your best friends about everything, but one day they can hurt you. They can walk around from you. They can do stuff that hurts you, even though they don't want to do it. That can happen. Your parents can hurt you. Like, nobody's perfect. And even though they want to be like God, we're not perfect because we are on a journey. But God, he will never change. He is always faithful. He's always the same. And you can just know that he is good all the time to you. Yeah, in Matthew 6:33, is that? I hope so. It says, but seek my kingdom first and his righteousness. Yeah. And all these things shall be added to you. And that's a very good verse when you think about relationship to God and to other people around you. Because if you search God's kingdom first, he will give you everything after. Like, you will get a most amazing boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever you want. Like, you can get PlayStation or whatever. Like, whatever it is. Like, he will provide whatever you need. He loves to give you things. But, like, he just says, search my kingdom first. And I promise you, and I speak that out of my experience, that your life will be so much better if you always have him first. Yeah, it's so much better. Yeah, and just also, the Bible tells about that Satan, he goes around like a shouting lion, trying to take your attention, trying to take you with him. I'm not saying that to scare you, but I'm saying that so you can know it. Like, when you are having a good time with God, and you really just enjoy his presence, and you suddenly want to do something, a sin or whatever it is, like, just know that he goes around because he don't want you to have that intimate relationship to God. Because when you know that God always is for you, you will be changed forever. You will be dangerous. So good. Because your life will be perfect and he don't want you to be perfect. So, yeah. Just know that he is always with you. He really wants to have a deep relationship to you. So just want to pray before I give it to you. Yeah, God, I just want to pray that you will just come and meet everyone in here. And I just thank you that you are the most amazing person to have a relationship to. You're so good all the time, Papa. And just pray for everyone in here that they will just experience you as their number one the whole life, God. That you're always faithful and you're always good.
Yeah. So I will speak also about a deep relationship with God. I was raised in a very very traditional, very conservative family, and I was also visiting the same kind of church. So I was, every week I was there, I would help a lot, I would pray a lot, and I would hear a lot of scriptures, but nothing would be really alive to me. They would teach me all kinds of stuff about God, but I never really felt anything in my heart. So nobody ever told me that God really desires a relationship with us, that he really desires to have an intimate relationship with us. So my view of God was like of someone who is really distant, who is really angry at me, who is keeping his eyes on me to see if I'm doing everything right, and who just wants to punish me, who wants to make my life miserable, who wants to take away, you know, all the joy, all the fun, and just here is my rule book and you just follow it. And I never knew him like as a loving person. But I remember that when I was really small, when I was a child, I always had this desire to hear his voice. And I was imagining how would his voice sound like. And I thought like probably it would be like a mastered voice, somebody who would just give the comments, who would just say do this or that. I never really felt that his voice would be like a friend's voice. So when I got saved, God was really revealing me that he's nothing similar of what I was thinking about. So he was revealing me in ways that I would never imagine. And he was revealing to me that he created us to have an intimate relationship with him, that he created us, that we are a social beings, that he wants that we have a relationship with him, and also that we have a relationship with each other. I felt that the biggest hindrance in my life was my perception of what I felt, what I perceived that he was, because of I view him because of based upon the ungodly actions and circumstances that I was living in. And I felt like that is really my identity, you know, the circumstances you're living in, the things that others do to you, the thoughts that other has for you. That was something I was thinking about, oh, that's just my identity. But the Bible says that though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. So no matter who abandons us, who hurts us, who do something really bad to us, the Lord is always willing to embrace us, always willing to accept us, always willing to come to be close with us. And when God created first human, his desire, his plan for that, for Adam, was that he would have the really good intimate relationship with him. Because God created the light, he created the seas, he created the trees, he created the plants, but he couldn't have a relationship with the tree or with the light. So he said, I will make somebody who will be after my own image and after my own likeness, so that I will be able to pour out my love on him, that I will be able to have a relationship with him. So he created Adam. And Adam, he was having some amazing time with God in the Garden of Eden. He didn't have school, he didn't have job to go, he didn't have any worries, he didn't have any annoying neighbors or something. He was just there, you know, hanging around with God. He was talking to him on a daily basis. So I was trying to think how would that look like, because you know, like when you are with your best friend and you are sharing your heart, you are sharing everything, all your worries, all your disappointments, everything. But I'm not sure if Adam had any disappointments at that time. Maybe that, I know, some apple was rotten or something. Like, he was just hanging out with him, sharing his heart, him just enjoying being in his presence. But when Adam committed a sin, he suddenly became a separated from that intimate relationship with God. He had to leave that place, the Garden of Eden. It's not that God wouldn't speak to him, but he didn't have that really intimate relationship with him anymore. But we can see that in the Old Testament, God was constantly interacting with the mankind. So he was trying to restore that relationship. And he succeeded. The very sign of God's love was what Jesus did for us. So when Jesus was on the cross, he actually paid the price that we can now have again this kind of intimate relationship with him, that we can be reconciled with God, that we can be in his presence. So if you have Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 15, verse 37 and 38, and it says, "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." So when I noticed that that two verses, it was like as soon as Jesus died, the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, And that veil in the Old Testament says that it actually it was separating us to come into the Holy of Holies, to come into the place where there was a God's presence, His Ark of Covenant. Only the high priest was allowed to step with the sacrifice into that place, into where the God dwelt. But I felt like how I felt that excitement that God had, that as soon as Jesus died for our sins, He tore down the veil and He said, "Come freely, come into my presence." And I think God's will for our lives is to really have an intimate relationship with Him, to know Him more, to share our hearts together. And we grow up in a knowledge of the Lord. We grow up in ability to hear His voice more. We grow up and we bear much more fruit, and we know His heart, we know His thoughts. His desire is to share us His heart and His thoughts. My last scripture is Mark chapter 12. It's a little bit longer, sorry. Verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." It's like, as Jesus would say to this guy, bingo, you really got it. This is the main point. Not everything that you can do for me, not everything that you can give me, but just to love me, just to be with me. And whatever we do for God, it is not so important as that we just, as to have a relationship with Him, that we love Him and that we are spending time with Him. Because He doesn't desire really the works, He desires our hearts. So I'll pass my mic to Michelle.
Hi guys, I'm Michelle. I'm just going to tell you a little bit of my story first. So I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in the United States. So my dad is a pastor and also a doctor. So that was interesting because I basically grew up in a church and in his church, which was kind of not fun. And to tell you the truth, I hated church. I hated going to church. I hated youth group. I hated everything that had to do with church. And yeah, it was just not fun. Like, for me, it felt so fake and cheesy, and, you know, I never really found God there. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that my dad was a pastor, and I felt like I had to keep some kind of, like, holy image because, you know, my dad was a pastor, right? Yeah. So, you know, I never went to youth group. Like, whenever I did, I was in your situation where I would just be sitting there, and hopefully you guys are paying attention, but I never really did. And I struggled a lot with living a double life. Like, I would go to school and, you know, be a normal kid and tell all my friends that my dad's a doctor, and wouldn't really mention the pastor part because, you know, they would look at me funny, and I was always afraid that they would just judge me and kind of see how I live my life and be like, "Oh, you know, she's a Christian, she's supposed to be perfect," like, you know. And I always felt like I was giving Christians a bad name, which was kind of a lie, but whatever. So I struggled a lot with that because I felt pressured into being, like, a Christian or always living a good life because of my parents. And so I never really pursued a relationship with God because, like, I felt like I was forced into it, and it doesn't really work that way, yeah. So throughout high school, my family got more and more involved with the Holy Spirit, and you know, it was really hard because everyone around me was kind of like hearing from God, and like God was working in their lives and doing all these cool things, and I was kind of just looking around and being like, well, what about me? And it was hard because I never really felt God in my life, and so I started to resent going to church and going to conferences even more. And to tell the truth, a part of it was because, you know, I wanted to live my life the way I wanted to, not just like a Christian life or, you know, because that never really seemed very fun to me. It never seemed fun to, you know, do all the good things and, I wanted to be experienced life because I thought that would be more fun. And I wanted to leave the Christian life for later. Like, I always had this mindset that, you know, I can just live my life the way I want to right now and, you know, pursue God later, like after high school or whatever. But that didn't really work out because I turned to all the wrong things. Like, I, you know, hung out with the wrong people and got involved in things like partying and only focused on my boyfriend and stuff like that. And eventually, I just got really lost, and that life didn't really work out for me because I didn't really find what I wanted. Like, it was even worse because, you know, I was a Christian, I grew up in church, I knew everything there was about the Bible, I heard a bunch of stories, and I knew all of that side, but because I didn't have a relationship with God, none of that mattered to me. None of it mattered, because unless you actually, like, have a living encounter with God and you really feel His love, You can't just live by the Bible or what other people tell you to do, because that won't mean anything to you. Like, you were like Peter said, you were created to have an intimate relationship with God, and other than that, it's just going to be empty. So I began feeling like a lot really depressed because I didn't know God, and I wasn't really satisfied with my friends or the way my life was turning out. And it seemed to get even worse because the rest of my family was like super happy and Holy Spirit filled and all of that. And I would kind of just like almost be angry with God, and I would just kind of blame Him, like, why aren't you interacting with me? Like, why aren't you coming into my life and changing my situation? And I was just getting so angry at Him, saying stuff like, oh, I'm not good enough. Like, He doesn't want to talk to me. I'm not worthy. And I just had all of these really ungodly beliefs that really hindered my relationship with God. And I realized, like, looking back on it, that it wasn't that God wasn't talking to me, it was that I was not listening to God. Like, God was talking to me, but I couldn't hear Him because I set like this little box of you know, things that He was allowed to tell me, or things like certain ways that He was allowed to tell me. Like, whenever He spoke through another person, like through a prophetic word or something really cool, I would listen because I'd be like, oh, that person's super spiritual, or that person is totally in touch with God and so much better than I am. So I would just automatically believe that. And then, but prophetic words only get you so far in a relationship with God. Like, I'm sure all of you have gotten really cool prophetic words about your destiny and your future and how much God loves you and all that stuff, which is really good, but it only lasts for so long before you want the real thing, before you want God to speak to you and not through other people. And I struggled a lot with that because, you know, I let God only love me through other people, through, you know, prophetic words and stuff. And you know, I wanted that really cool destiny. I really wanted to step into all of the promises that I heard about. And, you know, you can't really reach your destiny, or you can't obtain all of your cool prophecies unless you have a relationship with God. Like, I cannot stress that enough. You know, you were created to have a relationship with God, and then all of that stuff will come through that. But I understand how hard it is to pursue a relationship with God. You know, we all hear about how great it is and how our lives will be changed, and which is true, but it gets really hard because it feels like you're doing it alone, and it feels like God doesn't respond. And like, even being in an environment like the school of ministry, it's really easy just to, I mean, the school of ministry is great, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to like bash them, yeah, but it provides you with the resources and the tools to, you know, help you pursue your relationship with God. But when it comes down to it, if you want a relationship with God, you just have to make time. Like, God only moves if we allow Him to. God will only reach your life and be able to change things in your life if you want Him to and you let Him. You know, like the other day, earlier this week, I was still struggling with a lot of negative thoughts about how God doesn't, you know, God doesn't talk to me, and God doesn't, he doesn't, you know, value me, sort of. And it was really silly because that's not true, but I, you know, still struggle with that. And we were just doing this prophetic activity during worship one day, and we were all supposed to get a little piece of paper with someone else's name on it. And during worship, you're just supposed to like pray over that person and give them a prophetic word and then give it to them after worship. And automatically, all of these negative thoughts started coming to me. And I just felt like, oh, you know, I'm not going to get a prophetic word. Like, my name won't be picked. Or even if I did get a prophetic word, it's not going to be a good one. And, you know, I was just thinking all these weird thoughts. And then the time came around where we were actually supposed to exchange the words to the people. And I gave mine to my person, and then I was just like looking around, like hoping someone would make eye contact with me and be like, oh, like I have something for you. And a few minutes passed and no one came, and I was like, okay, like I was right, you know, God doesn't want to speak to me, blah, blah, blah. But it was funny because, you know, after all the announcements and after everything was over, one of the other school of ministry students came up to me, Becky. She came up to me and she was like, oh, Michelle, like I have your word. Sorry I didn't get it to you sooner. And I was like really excited because I was like going from a place of feeling like, oh, I'm not going to get one. And then I got one. So I was like, oh, I'm expecting something spectacular, something, you know, groundbreaking. And then I opened it and all it said was one verse, James 3:17. It was written on there. And I was just like, of course, like it's just a Bible verse that doesn't apply to me. Like it's not what I wanted to hear. Like I wanted to hear something like, oh, you're so special, or like blah, blah, blah. But it was just James 3:17. So I automatically dismissed it and was like, whatever, this has no relevance to my life. But then I just kind of felt prompted to, you know, actually read it. So I opened my Bible and I read it, and it said, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. So I thought about it during class. I wasn't paying attention, but whatever. I thought about it during class, and I realized that even though it wasn't what I wanted to hear, this verse was exactly what I needed to hear. God spoke to me through this verse and revealed what was really underneath my feelings. So all of the negative thoughts I was feeling was not actually because of the situation I was in, but because of past things that happened in my life, and they were just coming to the surface. So, you know, I realized that a lot of the time, like, my relationship with God is hindered because of the things in my past, or, you know, past relationships, or, yeah, and then I always, you know, automatically blame God, saying that he doesn't love me or he doesn't care enough about me because he doesn't respond in the way I want to. But I realized that it wasn't that at all. Like, it was exactly the opposite, that sometimes God doesn't talk to you in the way you want to hear it because that's not what you need. And if he always tells you what you want to hear, then, you know, you don't really get anything out of that, you know? So a lot about having a relationship with God and hearing his voice is realizing that your plans and what you want from him doesn't always match up with his plans and his actions and the way he wants to move in your life. So going back to God only moving if you allow him to, we needed to remember like who God is and his character. So if we take that same verse, James 3:17, and we just substitute, you know, the word God in place of wisdom, you know, because, you know, God is wisdom, and yeah, we can see that, we can infer, I lost my place, sorry. Okay, that God is pure, God is peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. He's full of mercy and good deeds. He shows no favoritism and is always sincere. So we need to realize that God will generally only move in our life if we allow him to. And since he is gentle at all times and willing to yield to others, our hunger and our willingness to relinquish our control to him is a huge contributing factor to building a relationship with him. So I want you all to close your eyes right now. Okay. And I want you to think in your own life, how much do you want God? A lot of the time we feel like God doesn't hear us or doesn't give us what we want or what we think we need. We feel as God has forgotten us or doesn't love us, but what really is happening is the exact opposite. We need to remember that God's plans and his actions do not align with our plans and what we want. And so we need to make it a habit to look at our lives through another perspective and see the bigger picture. God is often moving in your life when you don't even realize it. So I just want you guys right now to ask you, God, where are you in my life? Just give me a minute to think about that. Since this is a relationship, I want you to ask God, where am I in your life? And it's okay not to get like a direct, clear, booming answer, because often that's not how God talks. He talks to us in like, you know, in thoughts. So just listen to that small, still voice. And even if you doubt it, just, you know, trust it. And I mean, you have nothing to lose, so. You've all heard, like, you know, the tips and tactics to, you know, pursue a relationship with God and how to spend more time with him. But it's different for everyone, so I want you guys to right now ask God what you need to do in your life in order to make time for him. Whatever that may look like, it's probably different, it may be the same, but just ask for God. What I want to emphasize is that, like, this is actually a really hard thing. Like, I understand it's hard to set aside God time every day because, you know, we all get so busy, but what you need to remember is that since this is a relationship, you're not in this alone. Like, you can ask God for help, you can ask him, you know, even if you feel like you don't want to do something or you feel like you don't have like a hunger to get to know him, you can ask God to put that hunger inside of you. Like, you can ask him, like, God, like, I want to want you more. And generally he will do that. So just remember that God is involved. Nothing is too big for him. And you can always ask for his help. And I just want to emphasize, like, I understand how hard it is. Like, most of you are in high school, and it's so easy to make decisions that, you know, God wouldn't like. And I just want to emphasize that, you know, when it comes down to it, I'll say this without being. Just in my life, I found that doing what everyone else does or just kind of going along with the crowd just leaves you empty and unfulfilled. And, you know, I can't tell you, I can't convince you that God is amazing. I can't convince you that, you know, he's good for your life, or, like, I can't try to make you want God more. But I can tell you that those other things, the other decisions, you know, are not, won't give you what you're looking for. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so I just want to pray. So, God, we just thank you that you're a God of love and mercy, and you're a God who gives us hope whenever we feel hopeless. And we just ask that you would just come and help us to spend more time with you, and we just ask that you would just give us the strength to persevere and devote time with you instead of wasting time on pointless things, God. We just want to be close with you, and we want to know that you're in our lives. We ask that you just place a hunger and a passion inside of each and every one of us. And we just ask that you help us just pursue a relationship with you. And God, we want it to turn into something that we love to do and not something we feel forced to. So God, we just thank you for all the wonderful plans you have for us. And we just thank you that you're such a loving God. In your name, amen.